This is Thank You Heartbreak.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chelsea Lee Trescott.
As a breakup coach, relationship advice columnist, and the founder of Break Upward, Chelsea is passionate about human beings and their stories. She talks to people about their journeys in love, growth, heartbreak, revelations, and every wound and lesson along the way.
This podcast shines a light on heartbreak, showing you that the most crushing experiences are also your greatest opportunity to become meaningful, relatable human beings. Now, let's get to the heart of it. Hi, everyone. This is Chelsea Lee Trescott, breakup coach and podcast host of Thank You Heartbreak. And this is episode 215 with Andre, as well as his wife, Nancy Paradis. To skip this intro and go right into my conversation, go to somewhere around the 10 minute and 30 second mark. Something that I almost left out is when I really get into the rhythm or the groove of podcasting, timing is everything. It's unbelievable. I used to feel this all the time, that the next interview I did, the next conversation that I had, played so well off of the person I spoke to prior. And it wasn't because I was bringing something and like planting seeds. It's because they said something on their own that completely piggybacked off the last episode. So to me, it was like, oh my God, divine messaging. So my last guess was the husband of the former guest. So we had a couple right there. And what he said at the very end was about how relationships are all about dancing. He said something magical about that. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But today's guest, who is also a couple, he talks about, and she talks about, how relationships are this dance and that we've forgotten how to dance. So it's just like, what? This all is playing off of each other so perfectly. So I think there's a real message here. So run with that or dance with that and stay tuned. Andre teaches about gender intelligence, and I'm really hoping that you will stick with this episode. I get a little bit nervous because I know how we have become very sensitive about gender and pronouns and not wanting to make assumptions or put out there in the world that men must be with women or men must be masculine and women must be feminine. And yet I found myself needing to receive this message. I came into this interview, or as I like to call them, conversations, really, as I have been a lot of them, feeling off kilter, like I'm working through my own stuff. And with that working through of this stuff, it requires, you know, vulnerability to be okay with being in the midst of transition, in the midst of not feeling like your highest self or like you're on. And I've always been someone that feels not just the pressure, but like life is a privilege. So one must be, I can't even speak. Truly. I've always felt that life is a privilege and a way to show that you're really embracing this gift and taking advantage of it is to be on in life. And yet what will happen is I can come into a conversation, an interview, this podcast, and if I'm not feeling my sharpest, I will feel kind of ashamed of that, like I shouldn't even be talking to people. And so when I was coming into this conversation, I had just gotten this news that I'm going to have surgery on my hand. And I was so freaked out. I was having a total meltdown about what this would mean and just what it felt like, the enormity of it, as well as I was going through a lot of this sudden anxiety about relationships and these new feelings that I've been having, and with new feelings for someone else, these feelings that I'm having about myself, about where I am in my own life and what it really means to let someone in and give them an accurate view of yourself and your world. I've been single for years now, and if you've listened to my journey, that was something that was really, really, really new for me, but necessary. I'd been a serial monogamous, going from one relationship to the next, and in all the senses, avoiding my fear of being alone, leading life on my own, showing up in the world alone, and still feeling like life and this moment now is valuable. It's a whole story. What I realized, though, is these years of being single and forming this independence that in a way it was like protecting myself from anyone seeing my world yet. In fact, it was this idea that during these single years, I was going to be building out my life. But beneath that desire to build out my life was this inadequacy, fear, really, this assumption that in order to be with someone that I really admire in life and to have a relationship that is aspirational, that I would have to be somewhere I'm not, somewhere beyond where I am, that I would have had to made it in a sense. And in my mind, I've put that into my career, that my identity would need to be formed around my career because then I would feel worthwhile. And it wasn't just the identity in a career because I feel like, you know, I found a lot of significance in my career. I've made a lot of an impact, but it's been truthfully, financially being somewhere. So letting someone now into my world and feeling like, holy shit, I'm not there yet. I'm still not there yet. What will it mean to meet someone under these conditions? I've been afraid of that. Afraid that I'm in the most vulnerable position of all to be judged or to be found out that I was in fact right. My fear was right, that I have to be somewhere further along to deserve the love I want next, that I want now. So I came in with that in the back of my mind, like in my throat, really, you know, like kind of choked up and panicky about these feelings that I've been having toward myself. The reason I tell you this is because if I had focused on all the things we were saying about gender and that men want this and women need to be like that, then I wouldn't have been able to receive the message that Andrea and Nancy were giving me. And the message that they were giving me was very, not even humbling, it was just so revealing. I went in again and I thought, fuck, I've got to be on. I've got to not show that I feel weak in any way. And when he came on to the call, I realized very quickly that my charm wasn't going to be able to dominate this conversation and that my banter was not going to work. And I realized this was a very intelligent man. He meant business. He means business. And yet I was feeling off. So it was very freaky in this moment. We were going live and you're feeling like, oh my God, I can't fall back on what I usually fall back on when I'm feeling kind of weak and out of touch. And I also, like, I'm not feeling that smart. So what do I do? Like, I can't volley back my intelligence, match each other's intelligence, which just feels gross even saying that. So what do you do if you can't use your charm, your banter, your wit, your intelligence? And you're live, you're on, you're with someone. And it's just like, oh my God, that feeling. And I just breathed and I felt, Chelsea, just allow yourself to be a student in front of someone that clearly feels like a teacher. What would that feel like? Like to humble yourself enough, to make yourself vulnerable enough that you allow yourself just to be taught in this instance. You don't have to one up what they're saying. You don't have to match their knowledge. You just have to receive it. And I felt like I was able to do that. And because of that, it really helped reorient me. And a huge message and takeaway that I walked away with is when you're not feeling your best, just don't act like the best. And that's how you get better. That relationships, the romance is letting a person see into you and to see you in a way that maybe you don't show everyone else. So if part of your nature is being powerful and having this strength, then part of the charm in meeting you would be for the other person to see you in a way that other people, everyone else doesn't get to see you, which would be to show them some of those cracks, to show them where you are delicate. And that's how people nurture you. That's how relationships can be nurtured. But in order to do that, you have to extend that part of yourself that you feel like isn't yet whole. And the only way that we can really believe in ourselves, and I think believe in the connection even, is if we show those parts that aren't whole, that aren't quote unquote enough yet. For me, it's like, I'm not enough yet. I'm not somewhere far enough yet. I haven't become someone enough yet. The only way to really believe in the connections we're forming at a time where we don't feel enough is to show that element of ourselves and see if someone embraces it. Otherwise, we're always hiding. We're delaying. We're trying to buy ourselves time. We're always trying to come up with the next best line. Trying to do what I was trying to do when I got into this call was thinking, okay, let me flip on this on button within myself when it wasn't there to be flipped. That wasn't real for me. And because I was able to drop that guard and just be in the moment, I was really able to receive what I needed from someone, what I think the universe was setting me up for. And then my life was able to gain some motion, some clarity, some direction. And I felt permission to be okay with where I was at. And also I was kind of given this injection of courage to stop trying to be someone and just focus on being with someone. You get it? To stop focusing on being someone and start focusing on being with someone and seeing if the romance will follow that. Things have been going pretty good. So I'm excited. And I think this conversation made a difference. Thank you as always for being here and choosing to spend your time with us.
Where are you, by the way?
I'm in New York City.
Oh, nice.
Where are you?
Los Angeles.
Oh, are you? It seems just like a kind of a paradise over there.
I can't tell you. I'm born Canadian and I've been here for almost 30 years and I never get used to it. I just can't get used to it. For every morning in a t-shirt.
You mean you always feel like you're tapped into the appreciation for being there?
I can't get used to it. Yeah.
That's how I am about
every morning. Every morning I'm blessed to live in paradise and I'm an outside person. Do you know what I mean? So I don't care about the house, honestly. It's kind of ridiculous, but I live outside in the sun. We live by the pool. We live outdoors. Everything here is outdoor living. Like I said, I was Canadian. I was born in Montreal. So it was exact opposite life when I was a kid. It was like, all you do is live indoors because it's cold and it's freezing. And you go from school straight to the house. And when you're older, you go from school to, you know, the happy hour somewhere maybe, or just be hiding inside. I'm exact opposite. I want to be outside. I want to be in the sun. I want to be the air. I want forests and the animals.
I can't imagine when you finally, felt freedom. When you broke away from the family home.
Straight up. I was young. You know, I left early, but it was the best thing I've ever done.
Oh my God. Look at the two of you. I think I knew I was going to be talking to both of you. So this is a little surprise.
This is Chelsea.
Hi, Chelsea. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So you said that you guys have done this before?
I had my own podcast for 2 years. That I stopped doing because I was naive, you know.
What do you mean?
Podcast idea is to build a list, to have listeners, to people see people what you're up to. And what happened is I gave away the farm, so I killed my own business because I was give away the material free.
Oh my God!
And they give value, give value. This is the way. Like, I'm a teacher, I'm not a marketer.
Right.
So as I do this, they say, no, you have to give value, and then they trust you, and they come back at you. Well, so I went too far. So I cut the thing off and took it off the air because I was giving away the farm. For me, it's a lot more fun now to, like, you know, help you and, you know, kind of be a guest, and, you know, the logistics is simpler and it's a win-win. So far doing it this way is even easier because I have so much other things rolling because I'm pushing a men's program. And so like a podcast takes a lot of time, as you know. When I look back, it was amazing and we were really good, got really, really good at it. But the next stage of what I'm doing, time-wise, it doesn't...
I'm fighting that because what I got myself into was this trap of perfectionism in terms of the editing, like going over every word of my guest and I's and, you know, tweaking it so we sounded more professional or we didn't go off on, you know, a tangent. It wasn't as embarrassing. And I realized like over 200 episodes, I never stopped. Then last year I did, and I'm trying to get back into it. And one, like the self-criticism that keeps happening for me. And also the time suck of the way I was editing it. It's like, I can't sustain it time-wise, but also just with myself, the level of critiquing is just, it's literally beating me down recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could talk to you about this off air because it's a very specific thing that's very normal. honestly. There's a very normal mechanism for the feminine, and there's a way to combat it if you want. So that's part of the
work. No, but I'm curious about like what you think in terms of self-criticism. Both of you can chime in at any time, but being in a field where it's about what you know. And there's, I think, something vulnerable in being really exposed when you're still trying to know more or think differently. Right. And you're kind of caught between these two worlds where you're exposing yourself to other people and you're not sounding the way you want to yet. You're not thinking better.
Mm, okay. But that's, you know, that's your perfectionism stuff coming up right there.
Right.
Right. And the fact is there's no such thing as perfection. Right, the people who get close to perfection are people doing the same thing for 20 plus years. So perfection is not something that even needs to be on your radar ever. Otherwise, it'll keep you from doing anything and or enjoying it as you go. The idea is to go, well, this is when I know this go. Mm-hmm. As you find yourself doing it, you find the fine-tuning, the experience, the knowledge that it comes in. It's just we don't know how to do anything until we go and do it a lot.
Right, totally.
So if you want to be a speaker and you suck as a speaker, some people have it naturally, some people suck at it. But if that's what you do, you keep doing it until you become a great speaker and find the tools in between to sharpen that tool. But nobody knows how to do shit from the beginning. And again, the criticism, you're a woman, you have this woman in your head is always criticizing you for not being perfect. And I don't have that.
You really, like, men don't? You really?
I have a commentator. You have a bitch in your head.
Whoa, you have a commentator. What does it sound like?
Well, because he'll do both. He will go, that was really fucked up. You really fucked that one up. And I go, yeah, Jesus, should have thought it through first. On the flip side, you go, man, that was awesome. Way to go. He's a commentator. So he keeps you in check on some level, but he comments. Yours is a condescending bitch at all times. Who's showing you everything you're doing wrong. And every time you're not perfect, she's in your face. It's not your fault, by the way. It's a cavewoman safety thing, but it's a natural mechanism. She has it too. If you're female, you have it. And it's a difficult thing to battle until when you understand it and why it's there and its function and how to talk to her, because it's not you. It's that bitch in your head. That makes you a normal woman. How's that?
What was the period of a relationship where you feel like some self-critique really came up for you?
Well, a little bit broader than that, that I was, it was just keeping me from sharing my gifts. And I'm a dancer, choreographer, director, and I was hiding. And so there was this point where I retaliated against the thoughts of what do I have to give? You know, LA is so talented and I was hiding. And so about 7 years ago, I propelled myself and intentionally put myself out there. But what's just happening just now, just recently this summer is, hey, if I embrace and create this team, and let others really shine, we can do this together. Where I was always alone, like, I have to do it. What the
yes, heck? I totally get it. I feel like that's been my problem too. It's like, I think I have to wear every single hat. And then it's the criticism of like, I'm not that person. That's why people hire other people.
Yeah. Again, it makes you a perfectly normal woman. And what works better for a perfectly normal woman is not lone wolf, is community. Community, get some people to help you. That is juicy. That is fun. That is fulfilling. Lone wolf will kill you.
Okay. So what about dating and meeting each other and still having like a woman comes in and she has a self-criticism. Maybe she's not where she wants to be at in her life. Let's say it's financial insecurity and you're dating a guy that is well off. Well, in order to merge your lives, you have to be more vocal about what's really going on in your career, you know, where you want it to be, where you're at now. How does one confront that situation?
Interesting.
That's a really good question.
That's a good one. That's a good one. So in my world, there's, oh, how do I say this? Let me backtrack a little bit with what's happening in our culture. And we should be able to get closer to answering that question because it's a thick one. It's a big, thick one. The idea of coming together for a relationship. So both of us are dancers. So look, if you look behind me, this is the story of our lives.
Wow. That's huge, so, by the way.
I know. But this is part of like what I teach, right? Like, ballroom dancers are not the same. She doesn't do what he does. He doesn't do what she does. Right. And so in our culture, we don't know how to do this anymore. We don't know how to come together and each to the part build something new. So it's not, it's like me and her. If we're going to come together, we have to learn to freaking dance together. You know, and it's a little awkward because she's in my arms and she has to respond to my lead and she has to also respect my lead and feel safe that I'm not going to overlead and hurt her. And so there's a whole lot of dynamic here that's not visible. There's vulnerability. there's strength, there's
timing,
support, there's timing like this, right? That's a relationship, right? But in our culture now, we think this is dangerous or we don't know how to do it. So what I see everywhere is people not come together to become a couple. They stay face to face, and I call it disco dancing, as opposed to ballroom dancing. They stay separate. They could move in together, but they both have jobs and they share the bills 50-50. And there's no real vulnerability. You know, they're not married, they're not engaged, they live together because it's convenient and try to see if we're good together and maybe Google that long term. Nobody ever pulls a trigger. It lasts 5 years. Eventually, she, as a woman, again, normal instinct will say, well, why don't we get married? He's like, why should I get married? He's as a free wife. You understand, men's idea of a commitment is so not what you ladies think.
What is it? What do we think it is and what is it?
He has to make a decision.
Yes, I totally believe that.
He has to make a decision. So if you move in with him, if you pay half the rent, if you're a perfect wife, if you can wash his laundry, kiss his ass, have sex with him, and he doesn't have to commit, why would he commit? It's way too big if he has everything already. So he's not gonna.
I've heard women say this, that they'll realize they don't want you being approached by other men. Is that just bullshit?
What?
Yeah, I've heard people say really? That. Like,
you don't want a guy to say, I think you're attractive, you know?
You can get a man to commit. You'll do all these other things. You'll go above and beyond. You'll do the laundry. You'll do the cooking. You'll have sex with them really well, whatever they want. Yeah. And they'll commit to you because they won't want you to be with anyone else.
That's the mechanism. But it starts before all the shit. You have to do all of that before moving in with them, before having sex with them. Again, it's not a moral thing, right? It's just like science. This is the science of male brain that nobody's put together completely because men can explain this to you. So this is like 100 years of digging and being a male connecting with, oh shit, of course that's what it is. Oh shit. Oh yeah.
Right.
Wow. Right. So women don't know how that works. Men don't know how that works. They're responding to women more so. So if you give him the farm and expect him to commit and you're disappointed that he won't, he's got the freaking farm. What is it to commit to? Until you get so angry that he doesn't want to commit that you leave and he goes, crazy.
And goes, she was crazy. That's what you said. She was crazy.
Another one. Because nobody understands the mechanism. They do this. They don't do this. There's no commitment.
And it almost seems like it's just because of a logical decision.
It's I think it's very cultural. It's cultural, right? Like you can't trust men. They're dangerous. They're toxic. You go, girl. Okay. There you go. Like,
right. No, it's defensive. It's defensive dating.
And I'm going to tell you this. You know, there's a time where everyone saw the value in learning to be in a relationship and committing to somebody long term. Like this, the value was marriage is for women and children. And men knew this. So men would commit. They would build their lives. They would go out in the world and become something. So they were able, because in my world, there's three kinds of men and one that you need to avoid at all time, at all costs. But a real man in my world knows who he is, prides himself in handling his life, his stuff, pushing through life, building something, because real men want to feel masculine, want to feel powerful, want to feel manly, that they can handle and build and grow and make money and feel powerful and compete out there. They love that. We love competition. You don't. We do. We get off on it. And with that, the success that it brings for pushing through life and conquering yourself and everything else, you want to conquer your fear and your whatever. When you feel like a man and you can, you know, have the resources, this is what normal male do. They're pointless on their own. They want to share that with somebody.
Wow.
These are the men who want to marry, and these are the men who want to make commitment. Who are the men who stop playing with women, but actually commit to women, and then commit to a life of family and pride themselves and take care of their woman, but of their children, and make sure they go to good school. That's man, right?
I know. It sounds like such a good man, by the way.
That's
and I
a
do
man.
Think that men are oriented like that, or they used to be, at least. I mean, people make it out to seem like they aren't anymore.
I don't think
that it's for a lack of men wanting that. I just don't think they can fully vocalize or feel like a woman will believe them when they say they're just not in the place maybe to commit. I think there's a lot of men, like that you said, they want to build something for themselves so they have something to offer and include someone in. And it feels maybe more vulnerable for a guy to let a woman see behind the scenes as he's really creating.
You're close, but it's not quite that, right? It's believe in him. You know, so what happens if you do this, you're protecting yourself from him. You're playing house with him, but you're not taking the risk. You won't let yourself let go completely in case he's a cheater, in case it doesn't work out. Women are even hesitant to get married just in case it doesn't work out. So they do this, not understanding that with this distance, this never committing, this never getting in, this never learning to dance with a man to get the goodies, that, you know, were so basic back then. You know, there was a lot of problems, but this, you know, now we can communicate different. People are too afraid to do this, so they don't. And they go from boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend to relationship to relationship, relationships, and then end up feeling none of it is really worth it. They missed the boat, you know, but culture says, you know, you know, man, and they're dangerous. So girl, well, that's fine. But if you're going to be stuck in your man mode, I call it, if you're going to be self-sufficient, independent is the opposite of what this is. This is, you know, interdependency.
Right. Right.
So independent is manly, and men don't want independent women who don't need them, because men need to be needed. Otherwise, wow, they feel unemployed in the relationship.
And to answer Chelsea's question as well, I'm just, because you're out there with the men, you know, you have such a community of men's work, but as confusing and as a culture is yelling at women for all the messages we're getting, the men must be getting messages too, not only from women, but culture, that must be, unless they really know themselves, it's got to be confusing as hell for them.
But a lot of guys, I mean, like, what's happening is you're watching real men are just stepping out. They're just stepping out.
Stepping out?
Stepping out and wanting to do this, is they complain the exact same thing that you ladies complain about. You know, where are the women? Where are the real women?
Well,
they're all butch, they're all pushy, they're all controlling, they're all disrespectful. I don't want that shit. Every day, the good guys, my friends, can't find women because she's like, I don't. Mm-mm. So when a woman is defensive, where you can't let go, when you can't, you don't want to learn to do this, then the guys learn really quickly that everybody is just, you know, trying to take the helm. You can't lift it with a man, a real man. A boy will let you do it and you're going to pay it later. But a real man, no. So women refuse. This is, I'm sorry, this could sound terrible, but this is what I see every day. Women in our culture being afraid of men, believing, which is crap, that men are toxic, the masculinity is toxic, the men can't be trusted, the men are cheaters, all that crap, right? It's out there. That's not most. Right. Because by the way, women cheat as much as men. By the way, nobody talks about this. So, OK, stop. Right. If you want this, step into what that may look like. But you have to be vulnerable to it, and you have to, you know, not let the culture scare you and stuff. The pulse is missing now. We're afraid. And when a woman stays independent, stays masculine, takes care of her life in every way possible, there's no room for us.
Wow. I could totally see why a guy would back away and just say that, you know, they're not even picking up on the energy that, like you said, someone is willing to give up the independence to let them in.
Partnership, right? Like, nobody's not a partnership.
What goes so wrong? Because, you know, women are out there talking all the time about wanting a relationship. Like you said, I don't think that they realize how they're being defensive toward it. But it's like, what goes wrong within the dating? I think it's like this fear of showing that they want partnership.
This is what I see. This is what I spend my time doing. Like, I call it sound the alarm. Women now believe culturally across the board, like the millennials are even worse off, that for a woman to be valuable, she has to be everything.
Okay.
Strong, independent, powerful, CEO. And, you know, she's got her stuff together. She'll be able to attract a husband, have a couple of kids, and be a super mom and help the whole neighborhood. And no one can do it. Look at her face. No one can do it. And it's interesting is that about twice a year, I have women calling me and they have all that. And they call me for help. And they go, Andre, I need your help. I go, what's wrong? She says, I don't know. I have everything. I should be happy. I am miserable. I feel empty. I feel hollow. I feel like a shell of myself. I'm not present. I can't enjoy my life. I can't enjoy my job. I can't enjoy my husband. I'm not present with my children. Right? Miserable. But on paper, she has a great job and a family. Miserable because it's two full-time jobs, you know, by the age of 40, it's impossible to sustain even before that. So that is not the secret for women, but women have bought this belief that
how to improve themselves, how to make it in every category.
Right. So in my world, no, in my world is you have to pick. This is what I call sounding the alarm. You got to pick which lane you want to lead with. You could pick the money lane or you could pick the love lane. You can't pick both. It's not going to happen. Do you want a career? Do you want to live life through business and make that your priority and live through this? Because if you want to do it well, you have to do 100 miles an hour, right? And this is why all my clients have been doing this for 25 years and plus, and now they want the love lane, but they've been masculine for 25 years. They don't know how to relax. They don't know how to not work. They don't know how to control. They don't know how to be women. They don't know how to be feminine, warm, like relax and be vulnerable. They don't know. And so they're like a piece of ice with men. And men are looking for the warmth and the openness and the vulnerability and the receptivity of women, not the ice block that happens when you're stuck in your masculine. So you go on date and they can't connect.
Wow.
That's part number one, right? So the idea of superwoman is a lemon that's been sold to women that is destroying the future.
Do you see this on your end?
Well, I wanted to share because, you know, I've been around this information, God, 15 years. We've been studying and teaching. We've done live events and coaching, and I'm blown away. I would think I'm a bit smart, you know, but
a lot smart.
How long it's taking me to integrate it, you know, and it's such a knee-jerk reaction. Go do. And there's nothing wrong with being independent. It's when do you take off that coat, I guess. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, at 6 years old, I knew the kind of career I wanted, and I never stopped. And even married and with kids, like, I'm just now in my 50s learning to let him take it, you know, and enjoy the joy of just supporting him. He's got it. And, you know, stop being so stressed out. I was very stressful, you know, when the kids were younger. And I don't know what, it's almost like we get on a train that we can't get off. And to give ourselves permission, like, what if you want to have an easy day? We think that's being the laziest person.
I'm so hard on myself for that.
Yeah.
That chick in your head again.
So, you know, because we're seeing commercials of you go girl and sweating and kicking ass and like it never stops. And so I'm just really in this new place just this summer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just this summer it started.
Well, it started.
COVID.
Right, no, about course. 7 or 8 years ago, I really, you know, was, of course, always listened to his teachings, but like, I can't believe I'm still having to apply this and practice it and, you know, step out of the masculine. And thank God you've been patient with me because, you know, I was quite a mama bear. You know, we owned a business together and
you started off the relationship though, and you weren't necessarily like in the love lane. It sounds like you were kind of in the business lane.
Well, I would constantly yank her back. I would not let her get stuck in love. Now I would constantly yank her back. But
what did you feel like was happening at that time when he was yanking you back from the business lane? What did you think he was doing?
He was kept rescuing me, like
rescuing
you know,
from
rescuing me from myself, like the spin, you know, this perpetual spin.
Stop. I'd go stop. Come sit with me. Stop.
Right.
No, stop.
Literally come sit down with me. The day's done. Let the dishes go. And it was almost like, oh, thank you.
Like constantly pulling her back, saving her from herself, because that cave woman in your head will never stop. Nothing's ever done. Nothing's ever finished. You know, ever, ever, ever. I'm like, the laundry's going to be here tomorrow. You know, the emails are going to be there tomorrow. It's 9 o'clock. It's over. Come sit with me.
Isn't this funny? Because we hear so often in our culture about men being the, you know, the overworkers and the overachievers.
I am, but I know when to stop. That's the difference.
You know when to stop.
You know when to stop. You don't. You'll keep going to 11 o'clock till you fall over, and then nobody got anything good out of you. You notice then, where's this a chair? There's a man sitting and sleeping. Because we all kill ourselves until we sit down, and then it shuts down. There's literally a shutdown. Poof. The system shuts down. We build our testosterone. Mechanical. This is like physiology. So men work from this hour to this hour, and we know when to stop, and we know how to rebuild and recoup. And change
it. You know what you need.
You don't. And again, for us, it's instinctual, because if I don't reboot and there's a bear at the door, I need to like be recharged to kill the bear, right? Oh. So this whole it's a mechanism of instinct. So we know to shut down after exerting ourselves to rebuild, to be able to push, fight, save, protect.
Whereas women, we just keep falling into the next day.
Yes.
Falling into the night every time and feeling like still enough wasn't done. We should have done better.
It's never over. It's never going to be perfect. 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 Even if you have a house made, never going to be perfect. It's not going to be done. So let it go.
Women are always thinking about like something never being perfect. Is there a never enough for men? You think about like.
We are ultimately, for us, the ultimate goal is freedom. So we will push and push and push to get to freedom. Freedom means I have the means. I can relax. I can enjoy my life. I kill myself for 30 years, right? I get to get the fancy car, but I get to part-time stay connected, but I pull back. I want to relax. But it's planned, it's built, and I know the future is safe. Now I can chill. You don't have that.
It's perpetual.
It's perpetual. Oh, yeah. And within all this, it's time to stop. It's 8:30.
Oh my God. So what do you think happened with all these men during the pandemic and suddenly the plan was put on pause? How did they respond to that?
Terrible. This is like depression, suicide, when a man loses his ability to produce, you know, with stuff like the pandemic, because their business, the loss of business or their whatever, or it's a kiss of death for men not be able to take care of their families. Men commit suicide 3 to 1, you know, in the world for that reason. When there's no hope, they can't compete, they can't fight, they can't find their place. You know, culture that's constantly minimizing men, shaming them to be masculine and dangerous. Men who can never find themselves jump off bridges. Like, that's a terrible, terrible thing. Again, in our culture, right? The idea of men are toxic is such crap. Masculinity is toxic. It's not. Masculinity is essential for men to find their mojo. Now, it's interesting. It's a lack of masculinity in men. These are what I call boys. Men who are not masculine, who have not conquered their fear, their character, who have not built themselves, who are weak, are the ones who are emotional and dangerous. These are the dangerous ones, not men. Men defend children from these guys, which are not guys. They're douchebags, right? The weak ones are the dangerous one. It's not masculinity. It's the lack of. So people stop talking to me about this shit. Excuse my French. I'm cursing on your podcast.
No, I love but it.
It's not. It's exactly backwards. It's exactly backwards. So we need
to weakening men, though. That's what's kind of scary. It's like all this stuff recently. It's like we're weakening them so women can rise.
We flipped the script.
It's like crazy, this idea of equality. It's like, no, you just think it's your turn to do what was done to you in your mind.
There's no equality here. It's just complementary. I'm going to say one more thing and see how it does to you. This is the lemon that women have been sold in our culture since the past 50 years, that the patriarchy is a terrible thing because men controlling everything is shitty. Okay, there's some of that, yes. Now, it's not where we are anymore, by the way, right? You have access to everything. You've proven you can do everything. You can do whatever the hell you want. You could be a CEO, you could be a house mom. Oh, but actually now, no, you can't be a house mom. That's less than you. So now you're over-calibrated. Unless you're productive like a man, you're less than, right? You can't say this out loud that you want to be a mom and have kids. What's wrong with
you? Isn't there so much shame attached to that? Like just feeling like you're making the laziest choice of all. Right. But women would say it's because they're not being appreciated. And that's why.
Well, no, I understand what used to be and what was. But get this. This is where I went to crap in my world, right? The idea that a partnership has always been, since the beginning of time, men in front, women behind. Am I right? Mm-hmm. That's why they want us to believe. Mm-hmm. So now they flip the script and they go, no, men behind, women in front. That's not working. But it's never been men in front, women behind. It's always been this, my woman next to me. It's partnership. It's together. It's the piece that I don't want to do. She's naturally built for, and vice versa, and in everything in between. Right? It's not stereotypical male female only. There's all kinds of in betweens that are negotiable. But that's a partnership. That's a dance couple. That's a relationship. Right. Not her in front of me, and it's just never been her behind me. But they make you believe that women are less because this pilot co-pilot.
The most amazing quotes that always makes me feel wonderful is, you know, behind every great man is a great woman. He can't do great things for mankind and humanity without a woman that believes in him. And you can look in history over and over, and it's just so empowering, you know, to hear that.
It's almost like it simplifies it so much, doesn't it?
That's what I teach. That's my work. That's what I, you know, and I teach people men and women because that's all completely been deleted. Like it's archaic, yet somehow still works better in a modern sense. I'm not taking back the 50s, but I cannot be this man without her. I would not be in front of you. I may be living in the car because I don't care that much. But for us, for the kids, for our future, you know, I want to do it for us, not for me. I can't be this man without her. Every successful man will say this. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go with that. Seems better for me. Definitely is for me. Seems better for her too. Okay, so why is that a problem exactly? How did it just to be toxic? Wait, what? Come on, people.
Ryan. It's kind of a beautiful thing, I think, if men maybe vocalized more their need of women, like why they need women.
Men are very aware of their need of women. They don't talk about
it. But just I think that they are. If people heard that narrative more, just like no one focuses on that narrative.
Yeah, I know. This is why I'm out there screaming.
Right. I mean, I guess you get it. Because
I didn't even know that it happened to me. You understand? Like, I didn't know. I didn't know when I committed to her, I would hold myself to a different standard. That surprised me. Mm-hmm. Right? That was like, wow. And then I was the guy who was never going to get married, never going to have kids. Just a piece of paper. It's crap. How many times have I said that? I come from a horrible background. That's why. So none of this to me was attractive. You know what I mean? Like, it was disaster. So, okay, so I'm not doing this. And so I could be with a woman, but piece of paper is whatever. I said this so many times. It's ridiculous. And then I meet this angel.
Yeah, you guys are that story.
Derail me completely of my crap. You know, I could be bald. I could be fat. Doesn't matter. She loves me, right? Like, overwhelming, right?
Overwhelming what?
Like, bringing me back to life. Bringing me back to who I am, bringing me back to what I want, bringing me back to my values, bringing me back to life, like the guy that I want to be, who I didn't think would.
What were you doing that was activating that in him? What special quality?
I mean, I've heard this for years and years, and I still don't quite get it, you know?
You've heard it from him for years and years, and you still don't quite get it?
And sometimes it's flattering, like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool, you know? But, like, there's no agenda.
That's so beautiful. There you go. Yeah, there was no agenda.
I can tell you how that works. She can't explain how she did that to me. I can tell you how she did that to me.
Okay, yes. I'd love to.
I mean, if you don't want to hear, that's fine.
No, I do want to hear. I wish we knew her. I guess we have her answer. Let's hear what she did.
She believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And in that, there's nothing I could do. You understand? It's that simple.
Yeah, I guess I was just trying to think about, how did she show that belief in you? You know, sometimes people's belief is phony. Like, people try to act impressed by someone. I think, like, a real man probably knows the difference. But I think that there's a different vibe that comes with being enamored or impressed versus appreciating and believing in someone.
But I think it's a very obvious vibe. I want to tell you this. I know when I'm being, you know, somebody's blowing smoke up my butt, and the difference between somebody who gets me.
Right. Totally.
Who gets me.
Right.
And trying to change me, you know, she's like, go boy, you got this.
Right.
She believes in me. I can't doubt myself. That's what every great man who has a great, you know, life says about his great woman. She never tried to change me. She got me and she believed in me.
Mm-hmm. You did these, like, incredibly brave things that I would never do on my own. And
I guess that's part of it.
I think,
right?
I would dive in and do the logistics of things, like, you know, way, way back when you did your choreographic demo reel. And I would just, okay, you know, just kind of dive in without him even asking. But, like, I would never have the guts to do things that he does, or are just so bold and, you know, we're so opposite in our personalities. I'm shy, demure, and introvert, and he's just,
I will say, I really, really value bringing this all down to earth. I think that I've gotten, to my surprise, honestly, really lost in my head recently, getting back into the dating world. I'd been single and it was my first time being independent. And then this focus on independence, thinking that I have to build this career because of my identity's in it, and coming into dating and really being interested in someone and realizing a lot of these guys see a personality and an entertainer and someone that's always on in me and impressive in ways, but that I have a guard up and I'm shocked by it because I feel like the most vulnerable person. It's really broken my heart recently to see that the type of person in my mind that I've always wanted to meet, or a person I've always wanted to have, that I'm keeping myself back from it. It's my shock, because I had a guard up in my whole life. I had thought I had always let people see who I was. Yeah. I mean, this just really brings it back down to earth for me.
Oh, wow. I felt that.
Yeah, there's even so much more. It's been a really hard few weeks because I feel really responsible. I realize I'm responsible for someone looking at me and thinking I didn't have room for them in my life. I'm responsible because for some reason, maybe with my clients and listening to all these people's stories, I've gotten in my head and I've started to take on their anxiety and their storylines, which I never believed in for myself before. You know, I've always been the biggest believer in men and the encourager and the supporter. It's wild that I can't be raw enough about where I'm at to really let someone do that for me, or when they're doing that for me, to believe in their intentions.
We should talk offline because I know what's happening.
I
know. I'm serious. I'm not playing with you. Like, this is what I do every day, right? So
this is a
new challenge for most women, and it's very easy to explain. We could backtrack it a little bit. When you understand the dynamic, the energy, the man change, and that's a new life. So I know it's a little woo-woo, but I do it every day. So it's valuing yourself for something that real men aren't that interested in, but boys are all over. So
right.
you're attracting boys, and those are never going to make you feel safe. They're never going to step up. They always want you to do the work. They're proud of your accomplishments. They want to be comfortable. They want you to fight. They're feminist. They're, you go, girl. You got this. I'm so proud of you. When he's smoking a joint, spooning the dog. Music. I'm serious.
Like, I know you are. There's
a mechanism here of an energy that if you're one, you'll attract the other. So if you can't see the future for what you want, there's a mechanism here in place where you're overly calibrated. I could hear in your voice and the things you've said already. Fantastic stuff. It's not about changing that. Mm-hmm. It's about adjusting accordingly, depending on what you're doing. Like this, you in the world is you with men, or there's you in the world and you with the personal life. And when you in the world takes over, the personal life takes a crap because the energy is too much calibrated in masculine, and masculine men don't want that. But feminine men love it, and that's the entire world. So my clients, a version of you, I hate to say, been abused by men left and right. They think that's what men are. That's not men. That's boys.
Because I hear what you're saying too. I mean, 100% in terms of attracting the boys and why they would be wrapped up in the aura.
The boy's agenda is different than a man. Now, they look the same, right? They have the same
not
body.
Not always, but yes.
What I'm saying, right? They have the same body parts. So what happens is when a woman doesn't know that the magnetism is for the wrong type, they actually start believing that's men or all men. And that's not, right? That's just boys. It's to be avoided at all costs. They'll ruin your life.
Oh, my God.
They're very sweet. They're very seductive. They're very charming. They know what to say in the beginning. They just wrap you up on little fingers. They'll get you out of your pants as soon as possible to get you stuck and connected to them physically. And next thing you know, within a couple of months or so, he moves into your house because his landlord's a douche. And now he's driving your car because he can't afford to fix his piece of crap. And you're babysitting his dog when he's out camping with the boys because he needs a vacation, but he doesn't really work. He's on come on. Like, that's all the same, right? So this is when you ladies being strong, independent, and powerful is dangerous for you because you'll attract this crap. Totally. But they're charming, they're seducing, they're amazing, and they
stick around because they're getting so much out of it.
Until you say that's enough, you get a job. And they go, you know what, this crap, and they move on. And your heart's broken, and you never really, they're narcissists, they're self-centered, they don't care. That's not man.
May I contribute?
I'm sorry.
He paints a picture so amazing. We've had women in his live events crying because he's painted the picture of their life and they finally put words to what they're paying. But when you were talking a few minutes ago, Chelsea, and you were just authentic and vulnerable, like I don't have a very easy relationship with women, but I would want to sit down with a glass of wine with you and just like, I don't really know anything about you and you're lovely. And this energy from you is just so kind and you're questioning. And like, even that doesn't matter. I just think you're just this wonderful person. I would want to sit with you and just get to know you. And I would think if I was a masculine man, nothing that you're trying to accomplish really matters. It's like your essence.
Promise you.
It's so lovely. And why do we put this on ourselves so big, you know, where we could just enjoy? And
I know you're so right. It's just unbelievable. That hit me too recently. Oh my God. I've thought that these guys, they were thinking they were going on a date with someone with this role, with like a host, a coach, you know, that I've been able to, you know, leave the work world and be in New York. And how did I, you know, make this life here happen? I've been leading with this role as if they think they're dating a role when they're just really looking for the essence of me.
Yes. Oh my God. Looking okay, right there. Right there.
And that comes so easy for me. That's what's wild. So there's so much of it that's easy. That's what I'm realizing. I'm getting my own way. I'm projecting all of my insecurities for myself because I don't feel like I've really fully stepped into, you know, my power.
There's something incredibly vulnerable about you. I'm to tell you, as a man sitting here, that's why she said what she said. Like, that is what men are looking for. Mm-hmm. Not your power, not your job, not your money, not your balls, none of that shit. Mm-hmm. The woman. We're attracted to women. Men don't date men. Hunters don't date hunters. Men are looking for the warm feminine essence. And there's a real good reason for this. It's instinctual. It's natural. It's polarity. Is if I'm masculine, I need the warmth of the feminine to soothe my brain, soothe my heart, soothe my spirit. I need that. Mm-hmm. If you come at me with a mecha man, I'm not interested. You're actually irritating.
Oh my God. Wow. Right? Is there any way to recover?
Oh, absolutely. There's absolutely a way to recover. That's my word.
you can recover, you're saying, from this.
Absolutely.
But can you recover with the same guy? I'm wondering.
Sometimes it depends. But yeah, you can recover and repair when you overcalibrated one way, because you'll throw down, you'll throw away, you'll push away amazing man, not knowing. When you adjust, you can actually recalibrate and then go, I think I made a mistake, maybe. And he goes, what do you mean? I'm not sure. I think I made a mistake. I think I understand differently. And you'll sense it. Mm-hmm. You go, so, okay, well, let's go on this weekend. I'm telling you, when you understand that dance, here we go back again, you end up bringing the best out of men always. And I'm talking all men, the man you may be dating, the man you work with, the man you encounter with, all men become enchanted by you and want to be around you. They don't know why. It's an energy and it's a thing that makes women women, that is the most powerful thing in the world. Mm. You know, being masculine isn't powerful in women. Being feminine is your superpower. Mm. But again, a culture has shamed you out of this. That's it's pointless because it doesn't make any wrong. It's easy to fix.
Wait a second. Just to think about how our culture has like gotten women so fixated on something that's actually making them in a way unlikable or unapproachable. And they fed us this idea.
Women say this to me directly. Well, you know, I went on a date and I want to impress him with everything that I'm doing. I'm like, he's not interested in being impressed by a thing that you're doing. He wants to know who you are.
That's why I've always said that I think men are so deep, because my conversations are all deepest with men. I mean, that's the most beautiful thing. I walk away after speaking with a man knowing so much more about his life and the depth of his life.
You just revealed to me that you know how to speak to men. A lot of women don't.
Yeah.
No, they do that. And they think that men are shallow.
No, I think men are the deepest. I, you know, in a way, I praise my dad for that. He was such a guy's guy, but he was sensitive enough to observe the world. You know, and he always talked about life out loud. And it always gave me this confidence that a guy could be a hunter, he could have his own business, but that, you know, he loved the women in his life and he loved being able to talk with the women in his life about what was bringing him to life, about all the reasons to be alive.
Wow. And
he
gave me this faith about being able to go in with men with my defenses down. Like you're saying, there's an enchanting energy. You know, you can feel that. You can feel that when you're with men and they're feeling that sort of energy. It's not from, you know, you being sexy or ice cold, like you're saying, or attractive or perfect.
None of that, you know, and that's, again, the lemon that women bought, that in order to be valuable, you have to be masculine and powerful. Masculine men don't want that. I mean, it's interesting and that's part of who you are, but that's not the hook. Mistake. And again, you know, I take my clients in 4 months and we recalibrate all this and they have both.
I love it.
That's what I'm saying. It's very doable. It doesn't take years, by the way. It's a few months.
I do have a question because I remember, you know, it was provided for me and I never look at all that. But one that really stuck out that I have to ask is if you have sex too early on.
Kiss of death.
Is there anywhere to repair or recover after that?
Yes.
While he's answering that, I have to go to another meeting.
It was nice meeting you.
So lovely to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you for your input. And absolutely. Yeah, and what you said to me. Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's my girl.
Oh, that was so special. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Yes, sex too early is a kiss of death. And again, men can explain it to you. They're reactive to it. They want it. And as soon as they get it, something falls off. It's again, this limbic brain, this caveman brain, but it's essential. Our culture is told women, you know, you like she, you like him. Hey, you know, you start having sex with him, you start intimacy, you start a relationship. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Exact opposite. For most men who are looking for a woman to build with, is a kiss of death. They can't trust you. You're that girl. And it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, and it's not generational. I mean, I constantly researching this and I test this with young men and guys, and it's always the same. So, because it's not even a thought process, it's a limbic brain wiring. It's in our DNA. Back to the cave days, the girl who would go from tent to tent to tent to tent to teepee to teepee, the girl that nobody who she's sleeping with every night for a chicken leg, whose kid is she having? She's not a woman that anybody could trust. So genetics again, right? Like ancestry, civilization was built on that. It's the woman who was virtuous, who had to let a man show his capabilities, his capacities, his power, his strength. He's able to protect her. So first he could feed her, and then he had the biggest teepee in the camp, right? And all the other women were after him. But he would have to show her that he was a good provider and protector of her, because back in those days, it's similar today, but there's different ways today. his legacy was the children that he was making. So he had to be pleasant and nice and seduce and show a woman that he was a good man. He could take care of her, feed her, protect her and her offspring. And then she would go, oh, he's a good one. I can let him in. But the girl goes teepee to teepee every night. Nobody's going to take care of. Nobody's going to put nobody. You understand? This is just basic biology. Nobody's going to take care of the girl who goes hopping around because whose kid is that? I don't want to raise a kid that's not mine. It's the biggest insult by the way, the masculine, right? Find out that the kid that you raise, you spend your time, energy, money, resources on is not yours. By the way, 3% of kids out there are raised by
not their dad.
Fathers and not their dad. Yeah, they don't know this. They find out when they die. 3%. These numbers are loose because nobody's fessed up to it. So the biggest insult. Do you know what I mean? So instinctively, DNA, caveman, the chick who hops around, I can't trust. I'm not going to step in to protect her if I can't trust her.
Totally. Boom.
So 3 dates, you think he likes you, you like him, you jump into bed. He goes, that was fun. Next.
Jesus.
It's not 100%, but the numbers are huge. So let's just kind of pull that off a little bit. And again, that's not a moral call. You know what I mean? It's not a morality thing. It's if you want to build something long-term, there's like basic DNA, instinctual things in place that man can explain to you. They come after you.
Can't explain.
And they can't explain. Nobody can explain.
Right.
I
know. I hear it with men. They say, you know, they'll just say like, I don't know why I did it. I just know I started backing away.
See?
Over that reactive, over and over.
Reactive. Simple. So simple. Again,
so it's not even like they're like, I think they're over there rethinking me and criticizing me. It could just be that they're reacting and pulling away. They don't have thoughts surrounding why they're pulling away yet. They just pull away.
The instinctual, the limbic brain is going, we're not sure about her. If he's looking to build something, he's going to look for another girl we could trust. The virtuous woman.
What do I do? I feel like
again, depending how many times you cross the line, you could fix it with one guy. Absolutely. There's a language to this. You have to learn to speak man. It's not communication. I teach communication, but it's also man language that if you want success with men, you have to learn. It's rather simple, but completely foreign to you. So all that, right, is a way to open the channels for him to reveal himself, to have respectful, honest conversation where real men, not boys again, right? You have to very, very be careful. The first thing that I teach, by the way, to distinct one from the other so you don't ever get caught up. But when you understand what a man is, you eliminate boys right away so you never get in trouble. But men are very predictable. Men are very predictable, right? You do this, they respond this way. Like, so men don't lie. Boys lie. Men don't lie, right? So when you learn to open the channels of communication, approach them so they reveal themselves, they tell you everything's going on inside of them, the thing that most women are craving. But there's a language, a respectful language, and there's the space that needs to be allowed that most women don't understand. Anyway, so when you learn that, men reveal and talk, and you can see their heart, and they'll move.
Totally.
It's unbelievable. But most women don't know how to do this. And they get the one-word answer, and there's a good reason for that too.
Taking this all in. Well, thank you.
It's pretty deep, but I want to tell you this. It's not that hard. Everyone of my clients on the other side, like within a few months, they're like, oh my God, I get it. I finally get it. You know,
it's easy if someone feels like they're connected enough to themselves to even show interest. I think people are so surface these days. They don't even know how to be interested in someone, let alone gain someone's interest.
What I'm telling you, when you know how a man function instinctively and you can pull at him instinctively, he responds to you instinctively. Now, when you know how to make him feel like a hero and a great guy, and you get him, like he doesn't know why, he responds and you get everything you want out of life.
Wow.
So there's no shallow, there's no surface and none of that stuff, because if your pull doesn't react, that's not a man. You'll know right away. It's so simple. It's not that complicated. It's just when you get it, your entire reality with all men changes. Little boys, men, older men, the guys you work with, especially the guy close to you. It's just not knowing. It's just not knowing. And again, men can't explain it to you. They don't have it. It's just 50 years plus of research and interviews. And
you've done it. You've done it great today. I hope that people listening, they can receive this.
Well, I'm going to offer this. Like, if anybody's listening, interested in that, my website is projectequinox.net. Project Equinox, EQUINOX.net. And on there's an appointment tab. You click an appointment for an hour. It's called a VIP breakthrough call. And we can have a conversation about what's not working, what's been the past, right? Which is always grounded in childhood. Takes 15 minutes to get to it. Seriously. What do you want? What's the dream? And see if I could help. That's my gift, right? Like it takes an hour. And that call alone is revealing like a little bit of what's happened with you
right.
today.
It definitely reorients you. Yeah, that's a big gift. Well, so introduce yourself because we didn't even do that.
So my name is Andrea Parody. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm a relationship coach and educator of efficient communication strategies. That's layer two. It goes into not only business communication, but really the dance, the communication between men and women and man, what I call it, like man language, essential in love. Learning that changes
the game.
The game completely, the reality for women. And I could go on and on about it, but I could let my customers talk to you about it. And quite fun. So this is the big plan. This is my, I have one-on-one clients, I have a small group, I have different options. But the big calling that's been screaming at me for, on some level, my whole life, just got clear on it, is that somehow the calling is to put a dent in this cultural belief that men are dangerous and relationships are complicated, because it's not that at all. So I have a calling to basically bring this material forward and make that available to everybody, not knowing that's a problem for most women and for men, the dynamic between us. How do you build, you know, partnership with compatibility and, you know, complementary? That's what men and women are. So learning how to dance, you have to, you know how to dance. So that's part of it. But really the magic of masculinity is not toxic and the dismantling all this stuff. And really scream out loud, like sounding the horn is my job right now to say equality doesn't work between men and women. It works for work. It works for money. It works for business. Fine. That's different. You can't bring that in a relationship, in the realm of relationship. It's the kiss of death. That belief that is destroying everything, that belief that is destroying family, that belief that ultimately is destroying our culture. If a family doesn't have a family system in place to raise healthy, balanced children, because parents can't hold it together, culture, society falls apart. This is where we're going. So, okay, now I'm not going back to the 50s. There's a modern way to do this. Yet, there's a, at some level, the basic ABCs of how do you build the dance? How do you make that work? Well, you have to learn. And different life, right? For, as opposed to confusion, fulfillment and happiness and joy. Like women are in pain. I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear like the pain that women come at me with, not understanding, and then the, you know, being caught up in boys and bad men, and you know, and thinking
the
more
men life away to these narratives,
your life away, and then you know the pain at the end. Like you know, women who wanted children who can't get children because they can't understand men, and the culture says, "Oh, well, they're no, you know, no." And then men in pain differently. Men are pulling back and sort of giving up, and sort of they're lonely. They're lonely for women, and women are lonely for men and hurt. Like, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. And it's not that complicated. And that's what I'm saying. So I want this to be Oprah big, I call it, like nation movement. It's easy to learn and it's easy to test and prove and play with and, you know, adjust to. And it's, you know, because you said earlier, like, is it fixable? Mm-hmm. You are, in fact, a woman. It's in you. It's fixable. It's just to bring her out. Appropriately, differently, not for business, for personal life. So we don't change who you are. We bring her out in the thing, the one thing that men are attracted to. It's not foreign. It's in you. It's just been neglected or misplaced. Okay. Let's cultivate that a little bit. And then poof, both sides of the world, you win, right? In my world, I get a lot of badasses. They're masculine, they have business. How's your love life? Oh, what love life? I hate men. Okay. So this is all built up and they're lonely and miserable. And then the personal life has gone to hell. Right. And they go, we don't change this. We bring this up. That you could be a badass in business all day long and a badass with men because you get them and you understand how magnetism, the power you have on us. You have no idea the power that you have. Your power is into your feminine essence and not your masculinity. Women don't know this. The culture has wiped that out, right? It's the exact opposite of what you know. Come on now. And again, it's in you. Easy to fix. I'm just saying. Now I'm in a soapbox. Woo!
No, I love it. I love it. I needed this big time. I needed less of the analysis of the stories and all of that. And just a reminder, it's, I mean, you know, just trying to analyze it, just build a larger and larger defense. And like your wife said, I mean, she had no agenda with you. You know, you have to be careful that for my desire to want to repair something, it's not about what the agenda is. It's just dropping the last act that I had. I don't think it's about explaining yourself, but I think exposing yourself.
Absolutely. Like I say this all the time, without vulnerability, nothing happens between men and women. And I hate to say this. I hate to say this, but it's factual. I hate to say it. Here we go. Women have to be vulnerable first. Men won't do it on their own, right? So they need you to be vulnerable for them to hook on you. Okay. Right or wrong, blame God, but that's how it works. So that's an easy test. We could test that out. It's easy. That's
yeah. And I'm all about that. Women learning to initiate, you know, to allow, to invite someone in. I think the idea that men have to do it first is very doomed.
Actually, it's interesting, but yes and no.
Yeah, I know. I speak in absolutes. I know that's an issue I have because I could talk myself out of anything I've just said. I mean, they could always show the other side of it, you know? I'm like an extremist in that way.
That's interesting. That's fun and that's interesting, you know, and that's his place.
Well, thank you. Honestly, I felt like I was like so pummeled by life these last few days and like these news I've gotten and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to show up for this today. No. Thank you. Like, I really, really received this message. I really did.
Boom. I really did. That's all I care about. That's all I care about.
You know, I think I fixated so much on like what I need to get from my guest. For all these years of doing the podcast, it translates on dates to like what I need to do for them on the date. And it's like, I'm so starved. You have someone put a light on me and for me to receive a message, for me to like be guided. It's been so long. I'm not kidding.
You see how huge that is, really, honestly? And I'm going to tell you, you know, if you do it the other way, what I'm talking about, so much more fun for you. It's relaxing. There's nothing for you to give this. There's nothing for you to do.
Right.
No, I understand. Like dating, you have nothing to do. You have nothing to push. You have nothing to produce. Right. And it's actually the point. This is when men go, God, she's amazing. Why? I'm not sure. She's amazing. You set yourself up and you let go. And he thinks you're incredible. What? Yeah. And then as soon as you test it, you go, how's that possible? Well, this is another man. I mean, seriously, nothing for you to do. Think about this. To be able to be in front of a guy that's interesting and all you do is this. Give him his eyes, answer his questions. Anything for anything? Isn't that more fun? And going, I hope he likes me.
I know.
And that energy, by the way, is why you don't get a second date. Can't do that. Let everything freaking go. Know how to set it up. Set yourself up and let go. So much fun.
Just take it easy. That's definitely the easy road in dating. I like that.
And again.
The high road, really.
Right. And when again, he thinks you're amazing. He doesn't know why.
Right. He doesn't know why. So say again where everyone can find you.
So the website is projectequinox.net. So, you know, the planets between light and day, the equinox of the sun.
Oh, I love that.
For the season, that's my work, right? Like, the equinox is the perfect place between night and day. Like, not dark enough to be light and not light enough to be dark. That's the equinox. And there's a planetary thing for the seasons as well. So, productequinox.net. Book an hour on my calendar. I'll talk to anybody who's curious. And on there, you got this videos, this YouTube stuff. I have blogs. I have all kinds of stuff. I have a lot of podcasts on there. Mm-hmm. I do some men podcasts. So, men's work on there as well.
Tons of resources.
Tons of resources. And, you know, my job is to like sort of bring hope. I mean, it sounds maybe like ridiculously huge, but I can't help it. Like, there is hope. This could all work. We've just been sold a lemon for too many years. And you see what's out there. Like, there's data on this. Women are more miserable nowadays. The past 15 years, women are more miserable than they've ever been in the history of mankind. How is this possible? When you have all the options, you can do whatever you want. Well, you know, you've been taught to live and act and compete like man. And that's not in any way what men are interested in. Oops. And we minimize men and shame them out of masculines, you know, and that 30% of men don't know how to be men anymore. Problem number two. So the numbers went down and you raised to be anything but attractive to the men who want women. Right. Oops. Right. Oops.
Yeah. Oops. Let this be the last oops.
Yeah. And like I said, it's easy to fix. It's a little bit of work. It's a lot of details, a lot of data, but it's a few months, not a few years. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Well, I could sit here with you forever.
Yeah. And by the way, we could do this again because there's many, many like the layers of topics, you know, from energy, polarity, communication, What's interesting about my work is that it's not only men and women. The dynamic that works on all orientations. You know, gay couples who have long-term relationship do exactly what I teach straight couples. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about gender. It's about energy in the dance. It's about learning to dance. Isn't that interesting? It's not a gender thing. It's an energy thing. Each doing your part appropriately. The part that you like to do most. Mm-hmm. Some like to compete more. Some like to support more. Well, that's simple enough.
Thank you for this dance lesson.
You're welcome. Anytime at all. Stay in touch. And there's something incredibly wonderful and magnetic about you. I need you to know this. It comes across the screen. So there's no reason for you to be confused or disconnected or feeling it less than or abandoned. I'm just telling you this.
Thank you.
If this episode resonated with you, it would mean the absolute world if you could pass it on and let other people know about it. How you can support this podcast is really just sharing it, telling people about it. If you know someone that's hurting in their heart, tell them about Thank You Heartbreak. And if you want to be a guest on Thank You Heartbreak, reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram at Thank You Heartbreak, or you can email me directly at Chelsea, Chelsea, at BreakUpWord, BreakUpWord.com. And if you're interested in one-on-one coaching sessions, you can visit my website, breakupward.com/shop, where you can check out directly from my site. It's a super, 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 super simple process. Of course, I will answer any of your questions before you book. And again, you can email me at chelsea@breakupward.com. There's many different coaching options. And I would love to show up for you as you begin to show up in more wise and clarifying and secure ways for yourself. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be right back.